We will be starting out in Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to turn there, please. But before we start, let's pray, please. Father, teach us. You know I can't teach. All I can do is bring it to people's minds. Your Holy Spirit has to do the teaching. So confirm your truths, Lord, in the hearts of your people. You say that you came for the purpose of testifying for the truth, and that we, the people of the truth, hear your voice. So, Lord, let us hear your voice today, speaking to us the things that we need to understand to be better children of yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, it's a kind of a different situation we find ourselves in after we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in our hearts causes us to believe it, and we accept Jesus. He becomes our Savior and we become His bride. Then there's a process between that time of salvation and the time that we look Jesus straight in the face. It's called a time of sanctification, or cleaning us up is what it amounts to. And the way God cleans us up is by stuffing Jesus down in us. And the way we need to look at each other is to look for Jesus. Because Jesus in us means that we have Him. We look at all kind of ways, and there are all kind of ways that folks have of fooling each other about who they are. But the true proof of salvation is seeing Jesus in somebody else, and then them acting in a way that wouldn't be natural for them to act that way if it wasn't for Jesus inside of them. In this time that we live, if you will, in the church, we still have Satan tugging at us. And the world does that too, because Satan has the world. Every way we turn, the world is trying to get us to do something that God doesn't want us to do. And in all of this, we as Christians still have to live in such a way that when we stand before our Savior face to face and account for those things that we did while we were born again, we have to live our lives in such a way that He would say, "Well done." That's not always easy to do. I don't know if I can say it from memory or not, but I had a preacher that used to say a little poem, something about when we live above with friends we know, that will be glory. But to live down here, something, that's a different story. And it is. With the people down here, you just have a lot of trouble trying to get along with them a lot of times. But we looked last week at one of the ways, of course, we see it in 1 John, that John says that we can overcome Satan. And that's pretty cool. And we do that by not agreeing to go along with him. That's all we have to do. He'd just say, "No, Satan, I'm not going to do it." And it says he goes to somebody else. We looked at the traps last week that he set for us all along the way. And for some of you who came in the movie a little bit later, you need to understand that we teach and preach around here that God put the Holy Spirit in us at salvation. It's there forever, and its job is to guide us every second, to convict us of our sin, to lead us to all truth, and to bring to our remembrance every single thing that Jesus ever said. So we have this part of God inside of us that is supposed to keep us straight, if we will listen to it. But we have to walk in that Spirit of God before we can hear it. And we have to keep sin out of our life. Isaiah says it's sin in our life that causes God to turn His face away from us. So we keep sin forgiven because we're going to sin. So you ask God to forgive you constantly. In my case, multiple times every day. And you pray to ask God, when He forgives you, to fill you with His Spirit. Because without being filled with His Spirit, you can't understand all He wants you to understand. So in the process of being cleaned up and overcoming Satan, we have all kinds of things we have to deal with. Our book says that we were created into good works. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify God in heaven. God can't be glorified without us doing what we're supposed to do. That's how He gets it. And He says if we don't do it, He'll cause the rocks to cry out and praise Him. The first good work we have to do, our responsibility, is when we see something going on that God needs to be in on, we call Him in on that. There's a lot of things God wants to be part of that He won't be a part of unless we ask Him to. So we watch to see what's going on around us. We pray to see if we're supposed to be a part of it, but we pray also to get God in on it. Because we know He's promised that what He starts, He'll finish. So all we got to do is get Him started, and He'll go on through with it. In Ezekiel 22:30 and Isaiah 59:17, there is a very, very interesting occasion there, if you will, a scripture. It says that God looked down on the world and it was awful. Everybody was sinning. There was no justice. There was no truth. There was no mercy being shown. It was just an awful place. And it said He looked around and saw that there was no man to pray to Him. Wondered why there was no intercessor to stand in the gap. That's the reason I say that one of our big responsibilities is to call God in on problems. Because in those two cases, He was looking for somebody with all this mess that we live in down here to call on Him and say, hey, how about coming down here and straighten this stuff out? But there wasn't anybody. And Isaiah and Ezekiel said, that's the reason He brought Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, or carefully. You walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming, or not wasting the time. Redeeming the time. Don't waste your time. You don't have enough of it. Because the days are evil. We as God's children need to be on the watch and on the prayer, in prayer and on the job all the time. He says, always be ready to answer God's call in your life. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding and knowing the will, what the will of the Lord is. So see, God assumes there that we're supposed to know what He wants us to do. Until I learned that, 3/4 of my library one time was of books trying to show me what God's will was. And then I got to a place to where I found out that with that Holy Spirit inside of me, slapping the back of my hand for the little things, shaming me and embarrassing me for the big things, that for the most part, I had a babysitter from God living inside of me, staying on top of everything I did. And I found out that more than not, I was living in God's will already. That it wasn't like standing on a street corner and God's will is a bus that comes down the street, and if you don't happen to be standing there, you'll miss the whole thing. That's not the way it is. God follows us around, keeping us straight every day, every hour. And He does it. And we get to that place that He wants us to get in Romans 12 by changing our mind, renewing our mind. That's what we do. We learn to think like Jesus thinks. And then we do the things that God wants us to. If you want to, turn to Psalms 25, and I'll read you something there, but if you don't, I can read it to you. It's a short verse or two. In Psalms 25 and verse 5, or verse 4, David said, show me thy paths, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Show me where you want me to go and how you want me to go. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Now I had to look that word wait up, because there's a lot being said about waiting on the Lord. But what that word means is to wait for. David said, teach me how you want me to go, Lord, because I'm waiting on you every day until you tell me what to do. We find ourselves, I'm afraid, asking God to help us do something. I don't do that anymore. I don't ask God to help me do anything. I ask God to do it. And then I'll be there to see Him do it. Because I don't want to take responsibility for it. I don't want to grab something and mess it up and then have Him get the credit for it. So the thing that we need to do that maybe we're not doing, the thing that the Holy Spirit can tell us if we need to do better, is when you ask God, when you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, show me what I got to do this day. Lead me all day long. Hold off making decisions until you hear direction from God. David said he's waiting on Him all day long. So wait on Him. Wait on Him to tell you. He will. Very few times in my life I've had to go on and make a decision when I had asked God to tell me what to do, and He didn't tell me before it was time for me to do it. In 1 John chapter 5, way over in the back, there is two scriptures over here that I learned years ago to turn them backwards. In chapter 5 of 1 John, in verse 14 and verse 15, John says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Now I do that backwards. This is the confidence that I have in God, that I will get the things that I ask Him for. We have the petitions that we desire of Him. That's what it says in the bottom of the second scripture. If we know that He hears us. Now there's something that might be news to you. God doesn't hear every prayer you pray. We have instantaneous entrance into the throne room of God. But there's something you got to understand. Our Bible teaches us that when I pray, the Holy Spirit gets my prayer. Because a lot of the times I don't know how to pray in such a way that it would even be allowed in the throne room of God. So when I pray, the Holy Spirit grabs my prayer. And He changes that prayer to where it'll fit in the throne room. And then He carries it to Jesus. And Jesus then can either answer it, or if He doesn't know the answer, He can turn to God the Father and say, "How shall I answer this man?" And it says that God answers Jesus, because we know that a lot of things that God was doing, they asked Him about while Jesus was here on earth, and Jesus couldn't tell them. He says, "That's not mine to know." God is the one that's got the plan. Jesus is the one that serves us through the Holy Spirit. So when He's told what we must do, He tells it to the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit comes and tells me inside of me. And then I got a choice. I can either do what He told me to do, or I can choose not to do what He told me to do. But it says this is the confidence, that if we ask anything in His will. Now, when I first became aware of these scriptures years ago, it came on me that praying's kind of like shooting doves. If you've ever been on a dove field, there's one guy that'll shoot 100 times. Every time he sees a black spot up in the sky, he's going to bust a cap on it. Then there's another guy that gets a dove for just you grinning. You know who I'm talking about. There's another guy that every time he shoots, a bird's going to hit the ground. Why? Because he don't shoot at everything. He don't shoot at every black spot that comes over. He don't shoot at every bird going over him 95 miles an hour. He shoots at the ones he can hit. And I learned that about praying. In some ways, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. It takes faith to ride a bicycle. And I busted enough front tires, I know. Because I've wrecked a ton of them. But as you ride and as you get better at it and learn more about it, you get better able to do it. Now, that doesn't mean that God won't honor a prayer that you send up when you're in a jam. But I tell you, when you're praying for guidance and asking for God's will in your life, you need to get in a quiet place where you can hear it when He tells you. Be still and know that I am God, He said. And think about what you pray about. I knew a young preacher, attractive wife, good guy, little baby up in her arms. His mama got cancer. And he prayed that his mama would be cured from cancer. His mama died. He got mad at God, left the ministry, left the church, and for years never attended church because he was mad at God. But you see, he didn't know whether it was God's will that his mother lived or not. You can't pray about those things unless you know what God's will is. We pray to the Spirit. The Spirit takes our prayer and changes it and carries it to God. And it says, like in one place in Scripture, it says, if you stoppeth your eye or your ear at the cry of the poor, then when you cry out, I won't hear you, he says. There's a lot of places it says in God's Word that he won't hear us. And a lot of that has to do with the way we treat each other. So if we pray in his will, we'll develop some confidence that we'll get what we pray for. One fellow told me years and years ago, if you find out what God wants, just ask him for it, and your prayers will all be answered all the time. And that's the truth. If you can figure out what he's wanting to do, just help him along a little bit. Just a few pages over to your left in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God says, when you ask for wisdom, God gives it to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. They go every which way. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now see, that's a pretty strong statement right there. If when you pray, there's any doubt that God is going to answer your prayer, he's not. That's kind of hard, isn't it? If you don't believe that he'll answer your prayer, there's a good chance maybe he won't. And so we have got to make sure that we keep believing that God can do anything he tells us he'll do. He can't do anything, but he can do anything he tells us he can do. Not doubting. The prayer for guidance. There's a precondition to the prayer for guidance. When you're asking God to show me what I need to do about this, or show me what I need to do about that. If you don't have a complete openness to his way and to his will, God is not obligated to show you. That's something a lot of people don't understand. That you've got to be willing to do whatever God tells you to do when he tells you to do it, or he's under no obligation to do it. So you start with a quietness of mind so you can hear what he tells you. Then you've got to ask your question, not only of you, but of other people that come to you and ask you to pray for. Is there anything going on in your life that will keep this prayer from being answered? And the obvious question is usually sin. And when people ask you, would you pray that this will happen to me? The thing I normally ask them is, well, do you have anything going on that would keep that prayer from being answered? I don't want to waste my time. And I don't want to be discouraged for praying for you when you can't get an answer. It's just like in taking the Lord's Supper. That people who have taken it without asking God to forgive them for their sin, a lot of them are sick, Scripture says, and a lot of them are dead because they didn't ask forgiveness. So is there anything to prevent you having an answered prayer as far as directions are concerned. And your answer that you get from God may not be immediate. It may take time. You can't hem up God. I've seen people say, well, I asked him and I told him I need to know right now. He doesn't work that way. He doesn't. It may come from anybody. The answer may come any way. It may come any time. So you got to look and listen to see. I had a preacher tell me one time, God never save a man on the golf course on Sunday afternoon. That's the craziest thing I've heard of. God is in the saving business. They don't care what day of the week it is. But some kind of way folks get ideas. And sometimes your answer may come from someone who is in authority over you. That's something that we don't teach enough in the church, is this thing about authority. That it says that a man who is humble looks for authority everywhere he goes. And sometimes if you're asking God to show you what to do and your boss man fires you, that might very well be your answer. But we don't see it that way. We think about what he did. But that's the way the circumstances of life is the way God moves us around, by taking an intervention in our life. I remember one time I was trading trucks and I just put on a brand new tire. And the fellow looked at my truck, gave me a price on it, and I agreed to buy a new one. And I went back to the house. I was going to pick it up the next day, and I swapped that new tire off, put it on my horse trailer. Now that wasn't right. I wasn't supposed to do that. I showed him that truck with that new tire on. I had been working some horses for nearly a year to get them ready for a show. And I started loading them all up, cleaned them up, got them all like they need to be, put them on the trailer, started to Montgomery and down at that bridge in Clanton over old 31. I blowed that brand new tire out on my trailer. Best tire I had on my trailer. It blew all to pieces. And I pulled over to the side, started changing my tire. And the Lord said in the back of my head all the time, I told you. God has done those kind of things to me. I don't know about you, but he does them to me. I have seen him slow down a driver and somebody else come around and get hit and be in a car wreck. And the person he slowed down wouldn't be in the wreck. Those kind of things happen. And God's involved with all that stuff, whether people understand that or not. And I tell you something else. To be led of God does not mean that you've got to have complete control over the situation either. I've seen people wait to do something but until they had total control before they do it. That's not the way God works. To be guided by the Holy Spirit, you can't challenge every circumstance of your life. You just can't do it. You can't go along saying, I wondered why this happened. If somebody says that, I ask, well, what did it change your schedule to do? Because you never know where God's going. But that's the way he works with us. Peace comes from knowing that God is in control and that what he starts, he'll finish it. I'd like to show you something in Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Is something you feel God is calling you to do become a burden? Don't know whether you've ever had occasion to do it or not. Of course, most of you know I've made my living all my life working with animals. And this thing about a yoke is a special set of information. And what he says here, what Jesus says here, and he's talking about a double yoke. He's not talking about a single yoke. He's talking about a double yoke. One for two animals. And he said, take my yoke, the one that's already on my neck, and put your head through the other side of it. And we'll pull together. But there's something you've got to understand. By the fact that my neck is in the other side of this yoke, yours is not going to get too heavy. Because I'm going to carry the load. I don't know whether you've ever watched oxen work or not, but the big one always takes the load. And Jesus always takes the load. When he tells you to stick your neck in his yoke, what he's saying to you there is, I'll do all the pulling. You just keep that side of the yoke up, because if it hits the ground, I can't pull. So you just put your head in the yoke and walk along with me. It's an interesting thing in breaking ox and breaking mules too, for that matter. They have a tendency to hook them up double with an animal that's already been broke. And there ain't much way they can go but just get drug along if they don't pull. They'll get dragged until they find out a few days later that it's easier just to walk along and do my share of the pulling. And that way I don't get in trouble. And that is the thing that Jesus is trying to tell us. Hook up with me. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about walking every day, every hour, everything you do. If you want to stay out of a jam and stay out of trap, hook up with me and ask me. Learn to ask for guidance about everything. Learn to listen for an answer and for signal. You go to watch him. God will show you stuff. Sometimes it's a creepy feeling comes along. You can be in the process of doing something, and all of a sudden, I got a friend that says, God put a caution sign up in front of my face. You need to walk real careful. There's been times when I've been shamed. I was doing something God didn't want me to do, and he shamed me about it. I've been so shamed and so embarrassed that I had to pull over to the side of the road. I couldn't even drive. Because God's not playing. About a lot of this stuff, he's not. Sometimes you just feel a need to stop what you're doing and ask. And so many times that's happened to me. When I feel a need to ask God about what I'm doing, he'd say, you went ahead and started it without talking to me. And what I'm telling you to do now, you done got your wheel in a hole. It's time now to stop and let's look at this thing again before you have a complete wreck. Before you go any further, I believe that God wants us to be totally dependent on him for everything. I believe that. Because he says in Jeremiah, I believe chapter 10, that it is not within the heart of men that walketh to direct their own steps. So spiritually speaking, I cannot come up with anything spiritually, decision-wise, out of this head right here. because God hadn't given us that. Everything, he said in another place, don't you know that everything you learned about me, you received it? I gave it to you. You didn't figure any of it out. I gave you every bit of it. So why are you walking around all puffed up acting like you thought about it yourself? Because you didn't. You remember last week we read a scripture that said that those of us who follow God, he delights in that. He gets a real kick out of us being obedient to him. You know that? I'd like to make him smile a few times before I leave here, if it's all right. Let's pray. Father, teach us. And make us understand, Lord, when you give us signals, when you give us cues, when you speak to us, when you give us a feeling that we know is right, but nobody's told us and we haven't read it, we haven't heard it, that it just comes somewhere out of the inside of us, that you're trying to give us confidence on what we need to do. And then you say, when we've made the right decision, we'll have peace. So, Lord, we pray for that. Lord, cause us to ask, cause us to listen, and then give us peace. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.